This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, educational podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds, and they love the challenge, the status quo. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Want to welcome you to the show, and we are doing the show live from the Lineup Media Group Studios. We are thrilled that you can join us. It's going to be an outstanding show. Could be one of the best. And first, before we begin the show, please do us a favor. If you're not a member of the show, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's our website. Subscribe to either iTunes or Stitcher. Follow that, and you then will receive notices on when the show's up. So that way you won't miss a show. Of course, you can always go back and see all our shows. We got some outstanding shows. And while you're there, if you really love the shows, do us a favor. Give us a quick five-star rating and review, and that would really help with the continuing the show and getting it out there. And don't forget, we've got many shows on the Lineup Media Group. So go to lineupmediagroup.com. Check out all the shows we have. Listen to Jim Cromer at Youth Baseball Talk. Does a great job discussing the issues of youth baseball. And also Chasing Pucks with Panger. That's all about the NHL. We got Bleacher Bums, and we got so many more shows. So special thanks to the Lineup Media Group. And of course, I mention this all the time. Love getting your emails. Do us a favor. Send them questions about the shows, questions about baseball, whatever you want to send. Let us know. If there's a particular specialist out there that you'd like to have on the show, send us their information. We'll follow up on it. And don't forget, we are all over social media, whether it's Twitter at Baseball Out. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn. Do us a favor. Get all our information out there on the social media to all your friends in baseball because they will love the show. They're going to learn a lot from it. At the same time, we've got a lot of tips on all our social media. When you go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com, I also have my five-set instructional baseball DVDs for coaches. Those DVDs include over 100 drills, skills, and games to help you organize a fun practice. If you purchase those before Christmas, we'll send you two more free, which also includes a lot more drills. So, there'd be a great Christmas gift if you're interested in improving your skills. Okay, let's get started with the topic. Our topic for today, five skills for competing one pitch at a time. That is the subtitle of the new book called Heads Up Baseball 2.0, written by Ken Revizza and also Tom Hansen, who's been on our show before. If you go back in the show notes and you see all our shows, you'll see Tom Hansen. You definitely want to listen to that podcast talk. But right now, we're going to be talking to the best sports psychologist in the world. They call him the godfather of sports psychology, and there's no doubt about it. If you've read all his books, you've become pretty good at dealing with failure and helping your players deal with failure. Well, the five skills of competing one pitch at a time will help you. Ken will cover some of these skills. He'll also deal with how parents can work with their kids when kids fail, how coaches can do it, techniques that kids can use and players at all levels to help you deal with the stress and the failure of the game and help you prepare for that. He'll talk about preparation. He'll talk about breathing methods, focal points. There are so many things in this talk that Ken Revizza talks about, so we are excited. So let me tell you a little bit about Ken Revizza. First of all, as a proud Chicagoan, Ken is the sports psychologist for the world champion Chicago Cubs. He's a good friend of Joe Maddon. And I've talked about it on the show, I have so much respect for Joe Maddon and also Theo Epstein with the Cubs and what they've done, not only with Chicago, but what they've done in the past in understanding the development of the game. And Ken has been a good friend of Joe's. As a matter of fact, he was on his staff with the Rays at the beginning. Ken Revizza, is by far the best sports psychologist in the world. He's an outstanding speaker. He's entertaining. He's exciting. If you're ever looking for a great speaker, he's the man for you. He holds workshops with students all the time at Arizona, Harvard, North Carolina, UConn, Washington. He's held so many workshops all over the country. He's dealt with teams at all levels. He has been a sports psychologist for the Dodgers, the Angels, the Jets, the Los Angeles Galaxy, the Toronto Argonauts. He has so much experience, and he's consulted with the Olympic teams, international teams all over the world, with the United States Olympic field hockey team, softball, water polo. So you can see how well-rounded he is. Ken Revisa has conducted over 1,000 sports psychology programs and workshops, and is definitely a leader in the world. He has also been featured on ESPN, Fox, Sportsnet, and many more programs around the country. So right now, let's welcome Ken Revisa. It's a great pleasure to welcome to Baseball Outside the Box a great person known as the grandfather of sports psychology. I titled that he shies away from due to his modesty, but he's the world-renowned sports internet and international speaker, Ken Revisa. Ken, listen, it is a great honor to have you on the show. I couldn't ask. I think this is going to be one of the best shows that we will have. Again, great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Pete, for having me. Fantastic. I'm not sure, Pete, whether it's the grandfather or the godfather. I'm not sure which way that works.
Well, as they listen to the show, they're going to hear Caliendo and Revisa, and they probably will start thinking it's more the godfather.
There you go, man. There you go.
Well, listen, you are a tough person to pin down simply because you're just in great demand. You know, you're in demand worldwide. You're in demand here in the U.S., I had a great pleasure of having the opportunity to be with you overseas, listening to you talk at the same convention in Europe, learned so much, and I kind of want to take you back a little bit when you first started, because I want to give our audience an idea of, sports psychology, where it started, when you first started. In those days, it wasn't really well received, was it?
No, I started, Pete, in 1979 at Cal State Fullerton with Coach Augie Garrido. And he had me come out and watch his practices and give him some feedback on what I saw. And it started there. And I learned so much from those coaches and athletes. It was just phenomenal. And then in 1984, the Fullerton team won the College World Series, and the pitching coach for the Anaheim Angels at that time, well, Los Angeles Angels, was Marcel Latchman. And Marcel heard about the work I did with the pitchers, and he got me involved with the Angels, and that was 1985. And at that time, there were two of us doing sports psych in Major League Baseball. Harvey Dorfman, who passed away about 2 years ago, a legend. Mm-hmm. There's the grandfather. I mean, he's a legend in the field. And myself with the Angels. He was with Oakland. I was with the Angels. And it was both of us for up till 5 years ago. 5 years ago, the field is really mushroom. Charlie Maher with the Cleveland Indians, who was involved for a good number of years, has spearheaded the growth of the field, where now 26 of the 30 major league teams have sports psych programs, Pete. That's just phenomenal.
Wow, that's incredible.
See it grow to that degree.
And when you first started, they presented you to players. How was that first time that you met with the players? And, some interesting ideas, areas that, maybe difficulties or
The first time I went to spring training, Marcel brought me over. I go to the Angels spring training facility, and the manager at that time was a guy named Gene Mock. Gene, veteran manager, and he came right up and said to me, "Look, you're not here because I want you here. You're here because Marcel wants you here." And he said, "Stay in the bullpen. Do not talk to my hitters, and we'll be okay." And one thing led to another, and 15 years later, I was still with the Angels, and Gene Mock and I ended up at different times having some wonderful conversations, but it was an amazing experience.
That's phenomenal.
And what was interesting, Pete, was my initial presentation to the Angels, they had about 35 pitchers in spring training, and Marcel gave me 30 minutes to talk to the pitchers, and at the end of my 30-minute time period, the players were given a 3x5 index card, and they would write, yes, we want this guy back, no, get him out of here. So after my 30-minute talk, which I was a nervous wreck for, and in the middle of my talk, Pete, it was fascinating because we were in the locker room, and all of a sudden the hot water heater for the showers clicks on, and you hear this loud roar, and I'm sitting there talking. I was so nervous, man, I didn't even hear the thing go off, and I just kept going. I didn't miss a beat. I'm just giving my thing, giving my thing. And after the talk, so many of the players came up and said, I'm not sure what the hell you were talking about, but man, when that hot water heater went off and it did not even affect you, I think I could learn some things from you. And I went, I didn't even know the hot water heater went off. It was incredible.
You're trying to tell me that sports psychologists do get nervous?
Oh, I'm telling you, let's be real clear, and hopefully, Pete, this is one thing we get into in our talk.
Mm-hmm.
No one has it all together. Everyone has that anxiety. Everyone has the butterflies. And the issue is using that energy and channeling it into what you're going to do. Mm. I remember John Lackey when talking with him before, and John's pitched in, I think it's 26 postseason ball games, 3 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, John, what advice should I be talking to the young pitchers about? He said, well, one thing can really emphasize to them, it's not just another game. It's the playoffs. It's the World Series. You're going to have that adrenaline going through your body. You're going to feel that anxiety. And the key becomes you got to learn to channel it and use it.
Mm.
And that's one of the things I really want the listeners to get, hopefully, from our talk, Pete. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to lack confidence at times. It's going to happen. The issue is you've got to have a system in place that works for you so you're ready to deal with that adversity when it hits, because it definitely is going to hit.
You know what, Annette, let's, because I'm curious, because I think that it'll lead into some other things. I'm curious to understand, when you gave that first talk and you were nervous, what were some of the techniques that you used to help you relax, even though you're still nervous, to help you relax with the players?
Well, the techniques that helped me relax was, one, the preparation. I prepared for that thing. I was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I did was I was using my breath. My breathing was critical to the thing. And I had a focal point in the back of the room that when I looked at, and it was, I can still see it, it was the fire alarm box. And when I looked at that, it reminded me to pull my chest up, take a good breath, and get to the next thing I was doing. And that's a technique I learned long ago when I was in graduate school. And I've used it throughout my life in many different situations. But that focal point idea, and any of the players that have watched the E60 video with Evan Longoria,
mm-hmm.
which is a wonderful thing to just watch a 10-minute clip where he's talking about the mental game. He uses the foul pole. Looking at the foul pole, and what that serves to do is it serves to get your attention out of your head and get it external on the foul pole, on the target, on what you're trying to do. And for me, when I gave that talk, I had that point that I could go to that got me away from my doubt. Not that my doubt wasn't there, but that I didn't have to dwell on it. And I could get my head out of my rear and keep moving forward in the talk. And that's something I talk with athletes about all the time, Pete, is you got to get your head out of your rear and you got to play forward. You got to keep moving forward. And you can't hang on to what happened with the last pitch. You got to get to the next pitch.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, we got coaches, players, parents from all over the world at different levels. Also, we have them at, you know, as you're familiar with the youth level, which is a whole different animal. We're going to talk about towards the end a little bit compared to high school and college and professional ball. But all the techniques you're talking about can be used by all the coaches and players at any level. But it also shows that it's not just about the techniques, but you talk about preparation. So if you're well prepared, that helps you relax also.
Oh, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, Pete. This gets down to all levels. I'm just trying to emphasize to our listeners that if you think major league ball players are cool, calm, and collected, they may look that way, but what's going on inside may be different at times. Mm. Because it's a long season, and there's ebbs and flows that go with that season. 162 games, 19 postseason games. I mean, you're not going to feel good every day. And that's one of the things that's so important is you've got to learn to perform when you got your A game, your B game, and your C game. And I don't care what level you are, major league, youth sport, T-ball. But the issue becomes things like being able to just take a breath. Like for the young kids and coaches working with young ones, when the kid's swinging at the plate and he's totally out of sync and it's not going well, or when they're doing tee work, just have the kid step out of the box, take a breath, calm themselves down, and then get back in the box and just watch what happens. Hmm. You will see a change. This is something I've had college coaches, Dave Snow, when he was coach at Long Beach State, I can still remember he was doing his camps, and he called me one night. He said, Ken, I had these 10-year-olds, and man, we were doing tee work, and I would have them step out and take the breath, and you could really see the difference in terms of their focus and what they're doing. And that's all you can do with the mental game, Pete, is if you can be fully focused to give yourself 100% of what you got to execute on the next pitch. That's all you can ask. Hmm. It doesn't mean just because you take a breath, you're going to get a hit and hit a home run.
Right.
I mean, this isn't Disneyland. It isn't that simple, man, you know?
Right.
But one thing I know, Pete, is when a player performs and I know losing is terrible, but when a player performs and the opponent beat them, you can sleep at night. But when you beat yourself, that's when you stare at the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you should stare at the ceiling so that you stay up all night, think about it, and get better, you
mm-hmm.
know? All levels, Pete, all levels with, like, the breathing techniques, the having a routine, a lot of the things that that I talk with the players about, just critical at any level.
Mm-hmm. And I want to also add this in there, because I think before we begin, we're going to get into some really good techniques also. But there's a lot of myths out there, you know, when it comes to, you know, the mental part of the game. Can you give us, and also all our parents and players out there, some of the ideas or some of the myths, that things that they should not be doing possibly that they may think is good?
I think one thing is that I would recommend to the parents loud and clear is on the car ride home after the game is not a time to interrogate your child about the ball game.
Yeah.
Unless he or she wants to talk about it.
Great
they
point.
They want to talk about it, fine. But as the parent, I don't think you initiate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've just heard from so many young athletes, playing the game is one thing, but the car ride home can become very difficult with the parents. So just have a time period when you get home. You're going to sit down for 5 minutes, maybe put your cell phone away, turn off the TV, and when you're home, talk for 5 minutes about the game and have a set time period where you're talking about the game and not interrogating and putting little jabs in the rest of the evening at home, but have a set time to deal with it, get the information from it. And as a parent, you also have a right, you know, if you saw some things, to bring them up. But
mm-hmm.
the other thing in relation to that, Pete, is also in this day and age, I think it's just so important with the kids as parents that we realize with our children, when they go out and perform in sports, it's not easy. It's difficult. A lot of their peers today, they never participate, whether it's in music, theater, sport, where you have to go out on stage and in that ancient Greek idea, stand naked before the gods, fully exposed, where your actions count. And your child is doing that, and they're not always going to have success. But darn it, they're going out there and they're taking that risk. So we can at least validate them for that. So those could be the car ride, the kids courageous to be performing. And the third point I would say that's very important is to just see the effort, see the improvement, and remind the child of that. Even though as a parent, you may think they're not listening, but very often they are. When you tell them, hey, it's about the effort, you know, and they may say, I know, Dad, I know. But, hey, they need to hear it. That's important, Pete.
That's great. And we've all been to games. And I think I'm a big believer that if parents are educated correctly, you know, because we all need education, that they can actually be an asset. Sometimes we see them at games and they can be a detriment also because they're always yelling and screaming or trying to track their kids, you know, try to tell them what to do all the time. Can you talk a little bit about what you would recommend to parents when they're at ball games?
I think at the ball game as a parent, to be the quieter, the better. If you say less, you notice more as a parent. To be the loud one, it puts added pressure on your child because very often he or she is embarrassed because you're making them stand out. And if you can keep it to yourself, even if you have to take notes, and when you have that five-minute discussion when you're at home, you can bring up some of the things you saw. But you don't need to make it public information at that time in the midst of the thing because that's embarrassing for everyone around you as well.
Sure. And, you know, we all go through this, whether we're speakers, whether we're educators, whoever we may be out there in the real world. You know, we all have to deal with pressure, and one of the hardest things to deal with, and it's extremely tough, as you said, for young kids, but also tough for coaches when it happens and how to deal with it. And that's when, you know, when you're failing, you know, you miss a ground ball, you strike out 2-3 times, and how to deal with that failure and how to get coaches to understand how to deal with that failure also.
Yeah, I think you're hitting a good point there, Pete, in terms of the failure is going to be the time that you have to have something to go to get yourself to the next pitch. It's that thing I mentioned earlier to you when I said give 100% of what you got to win the next pitch. You may make the error. You may feel terrible right now, but the key becomes you have about 20 seconds before the next pitch where you got a chance to get your head out of your rear and get ready to play defense and get a good first step and do what you need to do to perform on the next pitch. Because what it's about is 100% of what you got to win the next pitch. And that's really the theme that radiates in our next book, Heads Up Baseball 2. We really talk a lot about that concept of giving 100% of what you got to win the next pitch. And that involves that you have to have a routine, a system, something to go to. And the something to go to is both mental game stuff, but it's also physical technique. It's knowing if the ball's hit to me, what am I going to do? It's stepping in to that pitch at just the right time so you're going to get a good first step. And those things to go to become a system that you can have in place. So when something goes off and it's not right and it starts going sideways, there's no need to freak out. As I'm always telling athletes and parents, high-level performance is about learning to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable at times. things are going to go sideways. You're not going to get every call from the umpire. You're not, as a pitcher, going to get every ground ball fielded. Mistakes are going to happen. But the key question I ask players is, are you that bad that you have to feel good to perform well?
Huh.
Let me say that again, Pete. Are you that crappy
mm-hmm.
that you have to feel good to perform well?
Mm.
Because my thing is, if a player can say, no, I don't have to feel great to perform well, that really gives them a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
If things are going sideways, there's no need to freak out. Okay?
Right.
I can do it. How many of the Cubs players at the end of the year were feeling great?
Oh, yeah.
After 173 games, I think it was. Could be a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people aren't feeling great. The arm's a little sore. The body's banged up. Do they want to play? You're darn right they want to play. They want to play to the best of their ability. But they're not necessarily going to feel great. But, hey, and that's what competing is about, Pete. Competing is about giving 100% of what you got to win that next pitch. And if you got 80%, you compete with 80%. Huge, huge. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ken, what about a young kid? What do you do with a youngster who, and then we're going to also get into, I want to get into your book because I think I've read all your books and they're outstanding. I can't imagine how this one's going to be. It's going to be just super.
Looking forward to talking to you about it, Pete, because it was 4 years in the making and it has been an adventure, I'll tell you.
Well, here's what we'll do. Let's finish it off with this one last question. I want to get back to the youth baseball also a little bit because it's, you know, it's the foundation of the sport, and I feel that's where the sport grows, and that's where we keep kids in the game longer if we can teach the right things. But, you know, for all our audience out there, first of all, you want to get Ken's and Tom Hansen's book. Tom is a co-writer of the book called Heads Up Baseball. You can go to headsupbaseball2.com. That's number two to purchase the book. But we'll talk about the book. And one thing I want to mention first is, what about that youngster who gets to the point on your club where he's just struggling so much to where it gets to the point of anger, and he now develops a temper? You know, coaches have to deal with that. How do you deal with a kid like that?
Well, I think first off, the kid gets angry because he cares. And, you know, the issue is he's got to learn to curb the anger. And I think one of the key things is what a lot of that focuses on is he's got to start recognizing the early warning signs of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to start recognizing when he's at green, because athletic performance, Pete, is like driving a car. You come to an intersection, if the light is green, you go. If the light's yellow, you have to slow down, check the intersection, check your rearview mirror for a police officer, make your call. And if the light's red, you got to stop. It's the same thing with athletic performance. If the kid can recognize some of the yellow lights, because the kid that's reaching anger, that's red light. And anger is basically, by definition, built up frustrations that end up manifesting themselves in rage. And if we can nip it at the bud and keep getting to the next pitch and getting to the next thing and being able to recognize what's going on in our body, what's happening with our thoughts, what's happening with our emotions, so that we can start looking at it. And as a parent, if your child has issues with the anger, just go back and see when did it first start? What were the early indicators? What did you start experiencing that you can do something about? Because if you can catch it early, that can really help. And this is something, Pete, I taught at Cal State Fullerton for 38 years. I taught a stress management course. I love teaching it for probably 30 of the years. And just dealing with students and the stress that they had, anger is when it gets too far. We can't let it get to that point because there's also physiological harm that's going on in the body
mm-hmm.
with all of that.
Mm.
And Pete, this whole thing you're bringing up right now is so important because it ties into a lot of things we've talked about in the interview so far. I want to be clear about one thing. Everything we're talking about with heads-up baseball and youth baseball, these are things, skills, when you bring the mental game into it, the ability to concentrate, the ability to be committed to the next pitch, the ability to prepare, the ability to have routines. These are not just baseball skills. These are life skills.
Mm-hmm.
My last 10 years at Cal State Fullerton as a professor, I had four officers that graduated from West Point, served in Iraq or Afghanistan, where they were in charge of 120 soldiers. And then when their tour of duty was done, they came to Cal State Fullerton, and they spent 2 years with me getting a master's in sports psych. From our program, they went back to the U.S. Military Academy, and they worked in the Performance Center at West Point, where they work on the mental skills that we're talking about as they relate to sport, as they relate to academics, and as they relate to life and combat. So these skills we're talking about, Pete, they're not just baseball, softball skills. They're life skills. And that's why in Heads Up Baseball 2, when we did Heads Up Baseball 1 20 years ago, we got more letters from parents saying that very thing, that this has helped my son, my daughter more in their life than in baseball and softball. So in this chapter, we put in a chapter on the carryover value to life. And I interviewed a lot of ex-athletes that I had worked with, and they talked about how 20 years later, they're still using these skills in their life.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That really is. I mean, I think that's what this is all really about.
Yes, absolutely. And for the parents, this is what it's about. Because if you think your son's going to play in Major League Baseball, very unlikely. I mean,
exactly.
The odds of that happening are just remote. But the issue is, you can have fun at every stage, have a blast, learn, be with your friends, and play the damn game. And yeah, you may have the talent, you may not, but you can have a blast doing it.
Ken, we are going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Ken Revisa. But before we take a break, I just want everybody around the world to know that you have got to go out and purchase Ken's and also Tom Hansen's new book called Heads Up Baseball 2.0, Five Skills Competing One Pitch at a Time. I have read all of Ken's books, and they are outstanding. I cannot wait to read this next one. To get the book, go to www.headsupbaseball2.com. Again, headsupbaseball2.com. Go ahead, Ken.
Pete, one thing on that, go to headsupbaseball2.com, but if you're having any trouble, because we've just got the site up and going, and if you're having any trouble, you can contact Tom Hansen, and he would appreciate it just so we could get some feedback and make sure everything's working properly. And his email is drtomhansen@gmail.com. drtomhansen@gmail.com.
And we had Dr. Hansen on the show. He's one of the first three, I believe, on the show for your listeners. If you'd like to go back and listen to that part of the show, please do. You know, as a podcast, you can always go back. These are just two of the best in the business. There's no doubt in my mind. I've been in the game 33 years, and they are phenomenal. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Ken Revisa.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.